What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And we don't just mean the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go papertarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out, the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey everyone, welcome to the most efficient episode of Car Stuff you'll probably ever hear.
That's right. Scott Benjamin, auto editor, over there across from me, Ben Bolin, video writer over here. And efficiency is really going to be the key of this podcast, Scott.
Definitely, definitely. And we're talking about efficiency levels like maybe you've never even heard of, really, because this is it's an incredible competition. And it was a suggestion from a listener, something that you had mentioned also in the same week just by chance. And I think we've talked about this in other efficiency podcasts as well. Just mentioned though,
just touched on it.
Yeah, not really covered it in depth. So, this was a good idea, from a listener named Bridger. And I think we read this in, Nuts and Bolts, one of them, 6 or 7.
Yeah.
But the suggestion was for an Eco Marathon podcast. It's an amazing competition and there are tons of innovation that takes place there. Bridger says that I just took part in it and my team placed second for a plug-in battery car, which is very good.
Yeah.
Says there's so much about this competition that I don't even know about. I think that a lot of us would be interested in hearing about these cars and the technology that's involved. So thanks for taking a look at it and, hope to hear about it. So, Bridger, here's one for you. And by the way, congratulations, placing second.
Yeah, man, awesome.
That's very, very good. I know a lot of teams compete in this competition.
And as we look at some of the numbers, other listeners will realize what an achievement that actually is.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
This is not just squeezing a mile or two out of a couple extra gallons out of miles per gallon out of your normal car's tank or anything like that.
Oh,
it's,
no, sir.
This is to the extreme.
Yes. No, sir. This is not a podcast about thrifty hypermiling or anything. This is the Shell Eco Marathon. The big leagues when it comes to efficiency.
Big daddy competition of all here. This is the big one. This one, I want to say that, like, even we talked about solar marathons and solar races,
right?
You know, that race during the daytime and they don't use any fuel really.
They're more endurance races.
They use sunlight as fuel. Mm. This is kind of a mix of all different types of vehicles. I mean, we're talking about fuel cell vehicles. We have battery powered vehicles.
Internal
combustion engines. Which some of the numbers here. We'll get into the numbers, and I promise you, these numbers are impressive.
Let's do the history. So way back in 1939. Shell Research Laboratory in the U.S., some scientists have what you would call a friendly wager. And this wager is who can get the most miles per gallon from their vehicles?
1939. Ben, do you remember what cars looked like in 1939?
They sure didn't look like the cars in the marathon today.
No, they don't. They were monsters. They were huge vehicles.
Yeah.
And they were big. They were heavy. Mm.
I think the word we used in the Packard podcast was stately.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, stately is a good way to say it. Yeah, they, of course, internal combustion engines. We weren't talking about electrics at that time or fuel cells or anything like that. Ooh. These guys were just trying to, eke the most out of their car by making minor refinements here and there and see what they could do with a gallon of gas.
And eventually, this competition continued to grow and evolve, and it moved to Europe. So the Shell Eco Marathon Europe began in 1985 in France.
Isn't that incredible?
That's strange.
1985. I mean, that's a long, long time after 1939. So we're talking 46 years, right? 46 mm-hmm. years later, it actually becomes a real thing. Otherwise, you know, other than just a friendly competition between, you know, the employees at Shell.
Right, right.
Kind of a year, you know, they kept it up as a yearly thing. You know, this is what we'll just do this. And then eventually it became a worldwide, I don't know, phenomenon. I don't know. Not really. Just a competition, worldwide competition.
Yeah. It's almost like one global experiment that happens on a cyclical basis.
Because it's not just Europe.
No, it's also Asia. It's throughout several parts of the world. It's not just Europe.
Yeah, there's also an America's competition.
Right.
And yep. We've got numbers. We've got some records and things like that, you know, later coming up that they're going to blow you away. I've promised this twice now, but the numbers are just astounding. They really are.
Okay, so our deal is we can't hype it a third time without doing it. So, mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about – you want to talk about the rules?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. All right, so – here's the thing. I've got the rules from their website for 2011. Now, these rules intentionally leave many designs, parameters, and tactics and approaches unspecified.
Mm-hmm.
And why is that?
Room for creativity.
Exactly. Spot nail on the head.
That's because this is like a competition among engineers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Students for the most part. And a lot of these competitions are all about ingenuity. It's what you can do within the parameters of the rules. A lot like NASCAR, a lot like Formula One, a lot like any cool, racing series really. Up to the interpretation of the teams.
So we've got students like Bridger from around the world, designing and building these energy efficient vehicles. Right now there are three sections. We mentioned the Americas, Europe, and Asia. And I believe Asia's competition began in 2010.
Oh, okay.
So it's very, the new very guy recent. On the block. Yeah.
Yeah, very recent.
I'm fairly certain that given the caliber of engineering students that would be competing there, it's going to be giving the Americas and Europe a heck of a run for their money.
I would think so. And right now when we get – oh, I can't do the third time because we can't promise it a third time. But you'll see that the European competitors, they really, really have excelled at this.
Oh, they bring it.
Yeah, they definitely do.
So, do you want to do a number?
You want to right now?
Yeah, we can.
Let's start with the Americas.
All right.
Or you want to start with the Asia competition?
Let's start with Americas.
Okay. I'll start with Americas. Let me go through my notes here.
Yes,
but
yes.
Let's see. So in the – well, actually, you know what? We should tell them right now. There are two groups.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
There is the prototype group.
And the urban concept group.
And the urban concept group. Now, the prototype group is – hang on. I'm struggling for my notes here. Okay. The prototype group, basically what that is just the idea to build the most aerodynamic, most fuel-efficient vehicles possible within the parameters that they give you. And there's height, width, weight, kinds of different parameters.
I got those, yeah.
Yeah, there's a long list of those. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we need to go into them, but they're extensive.
Yes.
Then there's also the urban concept group, which is fuel economy vehicles that are similar to the cars that we see on the roads today. Now that means that you know, they'll have a body, they'll have what looks like headlights, they'll have just about everything. They won't have turn signals, they won't have anything that makes them street legal.
They're more like a concept car than the prototypes are.
Exactly. Yeah, you'll recognize them more as a car that you would see on the street, but still not allowed to drive on the street.
Yeah, not street legal.
No, that's the thing. These are all, you know, still engineering, engineering prototypes.
Yeah, these are homemade cars, man.
Exactly, made by students. Mm-hmm. But high level of engineering involved in these things. Because in the Americas, in the prototype group, just for example, here are some of the records. These are the current records from the Shell Eco Marathon site.
Yes.
Laval University of Quebec, Canada, they achieved 2,487.5 miles per gallon with an internal combustion-powered vehicle.
What?
I know. It's incredible. 2,487.5 miles per gallon.
And that's not even hybrid technology
that. That's an internal combustion-powered vehicle. That's amazing. Amazing. Let's see. If you want to go on to a high school team, Cicero North Syracuse High School from Cicero, New York, 1,837 miles per gallon from a fuel cell hydrogen-powered vehicle which pretty impressive.
Especially you're building in high school. Good show, you
exactly.
guys.
And now here's a solar-powered vehicle that we mentioned earlier. Purdue University created this one, the solar racing team from Purdue. That's in West Lafayette, Indiana. They produced a vehicle that had, got 4,548 miles per gallon from a solar vehicle. So that's incredible as well. And then there's the Urban Concept, which is another high school team from Evansville, Indiana, and they got 437.2 miles per gallon, and that's again from an internal combustion powered vehicle. So prototype 2487.5, that's an internal combustion, and the Urban Concept from Evansville, Indiana high school team, 437.2 miles per gallon,
which is just
incredible numbers. But I promise you, wait till we get to the European teams and you won't believe the number that you hear. The number one vehicle, like the most fuel efficient vehicle in this category. So go ahead, Ben. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, because I
got all excited about reading some of these numbers.
That's
one third of them.
Let's do you want to go into some of the – you want to save Europe for last?
Why not? I've also got a couple little facts and figures that I can pepper in here if you'd like. Just here and there, just to give you an idea of how efficient some of these vehicles are, because they give you, you know, this is again from the EcoMarathon site.
Yes.
They give you all these kind of interesting facts and figures, you know, like, you know, comparisons. And just to give you an idea how fuel efficient they are, how little carbon dioxide they're producing. Mm-hmm. The Shell EcoMarathon vehicle and its driver combined generate less carbon dioxide than a world-class athlete running around a circuit that's 15.53 miles per hour.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
So the vehicle's traveling at 15.5 miles per hour, not the runner, of course.
Okay, yeah.
But less carbon dioxide than a world-class athlete running around a circuit.
And the difference there, that's so well written, because the difference there is the amount of air that the athlete is expelling because they're running, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And so what we're seeing is that a person sitting and driving, which probably breathing normally, mm-hmm. The pollution that the vehicles add is still less than the difference between an exercising person.
Sure.
And wow.
Sure.
That's astonishing.
So a driver and vehicle, less pollution than a runner.
Wow.
Amazing.
Wow.
Amazing. At 15.5 miles per hour, which is not very fast, but still, that's pretty incredible. Another one, just a real quick one. Here we go. If a Ferrari Formula One race car – oh, I love these comparisons, the race car type stuff, right? Okay, so if a Ferrari Formula One race car was as economical as a Shell EcoMarathon car, using 1 gallon of fuel, the driver can compete in over 3 entire seasons of Formula One racing without having to stop for fuel.
Seasons.
Now, of course, it wouldn't be able to travel as fast as it does, but mm-hmm. they're saying that it would be able to complete enough laps of all of the Formula One circuits – for the full race,
mm-hmm.
3 seasons.
It just wouldn't place
one
in the race.
That's right. Isn't that incredible? 1 gallon of fuel, they could compete over 3 seasons.
Now, here's the immediate question that comes to mind, which is if these numbers are real, which they are, we assure you guys, mm-hmm. these numbers are real.
Yeah.
If they're real, then why are we not seeing vehicles like this on the market?
Very good. Because a lot of the here's my shot at it.
All right.
A lot of these materials that they use are cost prohibitive. You're talking about ultra lightweight vehicles that, mm-hmm. You know, they don't have to conform to all the standards that we have for
safety,
federal safety standards. That is the main part right there. You can make these ultralight vehicles that are ultra efficient, and they don't have to travel very fast. They don't have to have acceleration mm-hmm. to be able to handle traffic.
And they're nothing but carbon fiber.
That's right. They're super, super thin. They have Lexon windows that are very, very thin. The drivers themselves are probably the smallest person on the team, if I had to guess.
Oh, kind of like the jockey rules for horses.
I would think so. I mean, okay. it would make sense for your team to put the lightest person possible in that driver's seat. Just all the materials, they're not built for comfort. They're not built for speed. They're not built for safety. They're just built for competition. And this is just a kind of a theoretical, here's what we could do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a point you can integrate some of this technology, and they are taking some of this technology to the manufacturers.
Yeah.
Because these engineering students are the ones that end up in manufacturing facilities where they or engineering facilities where they mm-hmm. do design parts for vehicles. So some of these ideas do make it into production. And you know that major corporations are paying attention to what happens in competitions like these. This is a big one too. This is a true worldwide competition. Very well known, very well recognized. You know, the people say this is where we need to watch for, you know, the talent that comes out of it, the people, you know, mm-hmm. from the schools, you know, who to watch. Also, you know, just some of the basic ideas that they come up with during the competition. That's, you know, the engineers at the major manufacturers might smack their forehead and say, why haven't we thought of this yet? Yeah.
Well, also let's make it clear though that while the approaches they're using, the designs and the materials that they're using may be innovative or unorthodox, the types of fuel and energy they use are relatively well-known things.
Oh, yeah. The fuel. I mean –
the fuel is Shell fuel.
All the lubricants. That's one thing we should point out. That all the fuel, all of the lubricants are from Shell Corporation. And, mm-hmm. of course, you know, that's part of the rules that you have to use Shell fuel and Shell lubricants. But what you're talking about, I think, is that we're seeing internal combustion engines. We're seeing fuel mm-hmm. cell vehicles. We're mm-hmm. seeing solar-powered vehicles. All of them are stuff that we've been messing around with this stuff for a long, long time.
Yeah.
They're just refining it to the point where, they're making big gains in some areas. Other areas, like you can see that solar is still mm-hmm. not quite there, but I mean, I think that 487 miles, is that what I said on the last one?
Yeah.
Or 437.2 miles per gallon.
From Evansville,
Indiana.
Yeah.
That's really impressive. From a high school team for a solar vehicle. I mean, but
what were you doing in high school? I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, it's all right. I'm kind of in a roundabout way getting around to saying that you're right, that this is technology that we have available right now.
Mm-hmm.
We're bound to see some of these advancements come out in future vehicles.
So here's something before we move on to the Asia numbers, mm-hmm. just to illustrate. These vehicles are – especially these internal combustion vehicles, again, as we said, they're not using some unorthodox, top-secret classified rocket fuel. They're using stuff like Shell unleaded 95 and – or if you're in the U.S., regular 87 octane.
Really?
Yeah.
So this is just
seven.
So this is just like not even premium or anything.
No.
which, you know – that doesn't matter. It's just a matter of where it burns.
Right. Yeah. And they also have some things that are less common types of fuel for internal combustion engines. They have gas to liquid mm-hmm. GTL stuff, and then they have fatty acid methyl ester, which I've never used in a car.
Me neither.
And then of course ethanol.
Okay.
But as we've said before, also hydrogen, solar power, and plug-in electric power or battery-only vehicles mm-hmm. are making strong showings. So,
okay. All right. You want to move on to some of these last numbers here?
Absolutely.
You know what? I'm just going to give you the Asia numbers and then the Europe numbers. How about that?
All right. Yeah.
We'll do it kind of quick.
We're on a world tour.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know how much more I have on this really, Ben.
Okay.
I'm not really sure. It's just a really – it's a fascinating competition. And what I think is really cool is – to go to the site and look at some of these vehicles and read about some of the teams, because they have stories about some of the teams and how they brought their vehicle there. Read the history of the competition. It's a great site to go to and check it out. But, and you can also find these records here if you don't want to keep these on the top of your mind, you know, just
right.
try to impress your friends at the water cooler or whatever. But, well, let's read the Asian numbers. For the prototype class, there's a Thailand team, or a team from Thailand, I should say, that achieved 3,579.73 miles per gallon in their internal combustion powered vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Malaysia team with a hydrogen fuel cell powered vehicle that achieved 1,408.46 miles per gallon. And in Singapore, they had a solar powered vehicle. Get this, Ben, 743.5 miles per gallon, which now this is a university.
Okay, I was going to say
that's the difference between the one from the U.S. here. That was a high school team versus a college team. They were able to squeeze an extra, it looks like almost 300 miles per gallon out of a solar powered vehicle.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
Well,
to
it's the equivalent. I should get that out here too. That it's the equivalent. I don't remember how they measure it. It's like in kilowatts per hour or something like
the
that.
The metric system.
Exactly. Yeah, something like that.
Which everybody except for the United States and Namibia uses.
I think you're right.
It's true.
Yeah.
Go on.
So the urban concept, this is from the Asia competition again. Mm-hmm. Urban concept, Indonesia had a team with an internal combustion engine that 558.87 miles per gallon, which is pretty good. And then Singapore, with 1,440.5 from a hydrogen fuel cell powered vehicle. So that's kind of the level we're talking about for the rest of the world, okay?
Yeah.
And, I'm going to save the big daddy number here for the very end, but
okay.
We're getting to Europe. I'll start with urban concept. Netherlands, 1757 from a fuel cell powered vehicle. Germany, 1648.6 from a fuel cell powered vehicle.
Okay.
Belgium, 1107.4 from a fuel cell powered vehicle. If you go into the prototype now, there's two here that I want to read first.
Okay.
Germany, 6,574 miles per gallon from a fuel cell powered vehicle.
Wow.
Germany. That's Germany, 6,574 miles per gallon fuel cell vehicle. France had 6,973.4 miles per gallon from an internal combustion powered vehicle.
Hmm.
Almost 7,000 miles,
How
Ben.
How did they do that?
Almost 7,000 miles from an internal combustion engine. Here's the big one. Are you ready?
Those weren't the big ones.
This is the biggest one. Now, this is a fuel cell powered vehicle, okay?
All right.
And this is the current world record holder, far and away above everybody else. I don't know what they're doing here, but this is the Polyjoule team from Polytech, Nantes, N-A-N-T-E-S University in France. Get this, Ben. 11,516.34 miles per gallon equivalent in a fuel cell powered vehicle.
Holy moly, man.
11,516.34 miles per gallon.
I'm almost speechless.
That's incredible.
So, okay, riddle me this, Scott. How long do you think just driving your vehicle in your day-to-day life, how long do you think it would take you to drive
11,000? 516.34 miles?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It'd take me, probably 3 or 4 months.
It'd take months.
Probably months.
Yeah.
Of driving to work every day, maybe taking an occasional road trip here and there on the weekend, maybe even a longer trip, down to Florida or something.
Sure.
That's a long, long way. And just to give you an idea, I've got a number here that tells you just about how long that is, really.
Yeah.
It came from their facts and figures, and I had to do a little bit of converting here, so we'll see how it goes. But this record that was set in 2010, by the way, then they give it in kilometers per liter. Okay, so this is where my math skills had to come in, all right?
All right.
We'll see how I do. I'm sure somebody will write in if it's wrong, but
math
it's close.
Up. Let's
math
say it's it
close.
Up, Scott.
Let's just say it's close.
It's close. Okay. It's approximate.
Very close. All right, so just to give you an idea of how far that is, it's the equivalent of driving from the head to toe of Europe. That means starting at the North Cape in Norway, you drive all the way to the tip of the toe in the Italian peninsula.
Wow.
And that's on 1 liter. Okay? That's 1 liter of fuel. Now, remember, there's 3.785 liters per gallon of fuel.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually three times that distance. So it's 3,042.3 miles per liter, which if you multiply that point by 3.785, you get 11,516.34, which is their miles per gallon.
And which is also the calculation used to arrive at the other equivalents that people have heard from European teams.
Exactly, yeah, because a lot of these are listed in and they do the conversions for us here on the site. But for the Americas, they have them listed in miles per gallon.
Mm-hmm.
For European and Asia
kilometers per liter,
yeah. So, but they have the conversions right there for you. So, anywhere you are, you've got these numbers at hand. I don't know, fascinating competition, really. And to think that it goes back to 1939,
it's just amazing.
It's incredible. I know I've seen a photo of an old hollowed out car. I remember from back in the 50s.
Yeah,
and it was so boxy. It looked like a Checker cab almost. It was blue, I think,
and nothing in there but one seat.
Do you remember that car? You remember seeing that car, right?
I think I may have. Did it have one seat?
It
just
did.
One seat?
It did. And a tiny little engine.
Yeah.
Thin wheels that were really pumped up hard.
Like bicycle wheels.
Yeah, they were. It was incredible. But it was from the 50s, and it was from this competition, from the Shell competition. And, you know, to think that, you know, throughout history from the 30s we've been doing this, that's pretty impressive.
So, hey, college students, do you think that you can make a car that can go further than 11,000 miles on 1 gallon of gas? I don't know, Scott.
I don't know. I don't even know where to begin with that. I mean, it's remarkable.
But we are not engineering students.
No.
So I'm fairly confident. I mean, a lot of our listeners are incredibly intelligent people. So, I'm fairly confident that we've probably got a couple listeners who might make some surprising moves in 2011 going forward.
I mean, we know we've got one that's into this already, Bridger.
Yes.
So you know, there's got to be more out there. More, you know, write in and tell us, you know, what you think about this, and if you have any ideas. I mean, not to share them with us necessarily, but
we understand if you can't tell us
that you have been in one of these competitions, or you intend to be in one of these competitions, or your school does it, and you've got some kind of experience with it. That'd be interesting.
And let's just reiterate again, now that everyone's heard the numbers we're talking about, what a notable achievement it is for Bridger to get second place.
Yeah, it's incredible.
It's huge.
It's really incredible.
And, of course, you know, Scott and I love hearing from listeners. If you have a comment you'd like to make about the Shell Eco Marathon, similar competitions, or a suggestion for a topic, you can find us on Facebook. You know, we're all over Twitter. You can see us on our website, howstuffworks.com. And you can cut out the middleman, send us an email directly at
carstuff@howstuffworks.com.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join HowStuffWorks staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander, or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So Toyota is electrified, diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.